Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is David Sugarman, live from Bloomington. Today we are breaking down the IU-Wisconsin matchup that kicks off at noon on Saturday on ABC. We'll also touch upon the IU's loss at Maryland last week, a disappointing loss, but, you know, a lot of things are still on the table for IU. So welcome in, David Sugarman. I believe this is your first appearance on the in-season podcast. How are you doing today?
I think that's right. I didn't even think about that before you said that. What an honor. I think I was on one or two there when we were doing our position previews, but no, it's good to get on, and I'm doing well. I'm excited. For hopefully, while it is certainly a difficult game, for maybe IU to get a much-needed bounce back.
Yeah, it's definitely a much-needed bounce back after a disappointing loss to Maryland. The final score there was 42-39. Indiana rushed out to a big 14-0 lead. Just, you know, once Peyton Ramsey, they blocked the kick. Peyton Ramsey then threw a pick, or he threw the pick, then they blocked the kick. It was all mishmash of things. But that interception that set up a Maryland score about at the 15-yard line just really set up the day for – just didn't feel right after that. You know, Indiana couldn't make plays on special teams. They didn't get the big defensive stops in the red zone that they needed. They let up way too many long runs to Ty Johnson. Lorenzo Harrison, somehow nobody could tackle him behind the line of scrimmage. And those are two guys we've previewed at the beginning of the season as two of the better running backs in the Big Ten. But that's still not an excuse for Indiana's defense to let up the way it did last week, getting an early turn. It was just a disappointing loss. And it was, you know, losing sucks, but it was great to see Tom Allen frustrated and disappointed in his team instead of saying, you know, we were close. It's another close game that we just couldn't get over the hump and all that coach speak. So it was great to see that he was disappointed in. I believe, David, if you've watched his YouTube previewing this, there might be some things changing on special teams this week. Of course, Jayshon Harris, I really feel for the kid. His third ACL tear in as many years, he's out for the season. So Luke Timian is going to be taking over punt return duties. But it seems like in protection, maybe in on the kick return, there's going to be some changes to shore up the effort there against Wisconsin. You know, that's the special teams unit has sparked them this year in certain games. Virginia, it sparked a comeback against Michigan. They're going to need a great special teams performance against Wisconsin. Just some final thoughts from last week, David, before we head into our Wisconsin preview.
Yeah, it felt, Sammy, a little bit more like a Kevin Wilson-led team in the sense that, I mean, granted, Maryland's defense is really bad. I mean, they were the worst coming into the Big Ten, and they were as bad as advertised. But Indiana's offense came alive, but the defense got really torn up on the ground, and the special teams were sloppy. I mean, that blocked extra point late doesn't quite matter as much because the Indiana never, you know, got on the other side of the 50 on that last drive. But instead of a field goal winning the game, it would have been only a field goal tying the game. And it was just sloppy, and I think a lot of Indiana fans were looking at it as, you know, nothing is guaranteed in the Big Ten, especially on the road. But after playing Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, it was the first Big Ten game that Indiana was favored in, and it felt like a game they really needed to win. They've still got three winnable games down the stretch, but they really put themselves behind the eight ball the last four games of the season. I agree with you. I think
I don't know if I put quite as much stock in the fact that yes, Tom Allen is frustrated. I mean, good. He should be frustrated, you know, with the way things have gone. But I agree, it's better than him saying, you know, moral victories are good and hey, we'll get him next time. No, he's pissed off and rightfully so. But just to reiterate, echo some of the same thoughts that you did. They dropped a game they likely should have won, even with the Richard Lego having to come in, who played very well. And now, like I said, they're 3-5 with a ton of injuries. They've lost 4 in a row. They've really put themselves in a difficult situation as they try to get back to a third straight bowl game, Sammy.
Yeah, and, you know, that's something we're going to talk about going into Wisconsin because there's injuries on both sides both teams this week. Wisconsin's dealing with their injuries. Indiana, Tom Allen hasn't named the starter. We're probably not going to find out who's going to start a quarterback until Saturday when they run out somebody. But if Peyton Ramsey cannot move in the pocket, they have to start Richard Lego. Peyton Ramsey, the big plus on having him is his ability to run the ball. And last week he was sacked 5 times. They were going at his knees. He got, you know, all the credit in the world to the kid for being tough and coming back out there. But at some point, it's going to affect him, and they're not going to be able to run him. And that might be this week. If he can't, you know, run the ball effectively, you got to give it to Lego, the fifth-year senior. He has one of the strongest arms in the Big Ten. He played very well last week. The offense, he threw 2 touchdowns. Was 12 of 21 passing for over 120 yards. So we'll see how they do. So
your dog got an opinion there? You
know, yeah, he got some people in the yard. So. Anyway,
excuse
that disturbance.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's, you know, you got to give this team a chance to win. I think the best chance to win is with Richard Lego at quarterback. You know, Wisconsin's stout against the run. They're a little bit more deficient against the pass. So, you know, we've been calling for it for a couple weeks. I thought maybe they would have done it against Michigan State, but having Richard Lego play really should give them the best chance to win on Saturday and going forward.
You know, frankly, Ramsey hadn't been really effective on the ground. It's probably going back to the Charleston Southern game, and I know some of these stats are hampered by sacks. But the last 3 weeks against Michigan, 14 carries, 14 yards with a long of 9. Michigan State, 15 carries for 33 with a long of 8. And then in Maryland, he had the 115-yard carry. So I think, you know, maybe part of that is due to being banged up. I think part of that is due to the level of play and teams figuring out his game a little bit because he's not truly a dual threat quarterback because his deep ball isn't really there yet. So while some fans may be upset, if Ramsey's mobility, which has already been neutralized the last few weeks, is really as hampered as badly as, you know, one might think, then I agree with you, Richard Lego. We give Indiana the best chance to win.
Yeah, and it's weird to think that a dual threat quarterback, even though he can't throw the deep ball, can really make this offense one dimensional. You know, with all these underneath throws and the lack of a run game, the you know, opposing defenses, we've seen them stack the box, and it really becomes one dimensional. Even though IU's throwing the ball 40 times a game, so. Other injuries that IU's going to have to figure out and deal with, of course, Jayshon Harris. You know, he started last week at wide receiver. You know, we saw Wob Fillier. You figure he's going to start this week as well, or at least play the role that Jayshon Harris and Luke Timian have been playing after a phenomenal game against Maryland. Yeah, Ian Thomas is dealing with nagging injuries. He looks like he can't raise his arms above his shoulders. The offensive line is banged up. You know, Coy Cronk played. He didn't look as mobile as he did in the past. And then, of course, you know, Marcelino is finally out of a cast, but, you know, he's eligible for a redshirt year. And so do you lose a year to play the last 4 games of the year? That's just something the coaching staff has to look at too. But, you know, Tony Fields has played well at his spot at Husky, but having depth like Marcelino Ball and maybe pushing Tony Fields back to safety and having Chase Dutra come off the bench just gives that defense a little bit more depth for later in the game. David, Wisconsin's coming in ranked number 4 in the AP poll. I believe they're 8th or 9th in the college football poll. So they have everything to play for in front of them. They do have some injuries. Jonathan Taylor went down last week. He's questionable. Of course, Paul Chris gives the whatever every coach gives during the week is the, you know, we'll see on Thursday where the guys are at. Their starting fullback is not traveling. He gave that update a couple days ago on Wisconsin's page, but Quintus Cephas, their leading receiver, is also banged up. So Wisconsin's got some injuries to deal with too. And if those guys are out, this game becomes a little bit more doable for IU.
It does. I mean, it comes with the territory, I guess. And I think the reason for you go back to Indiana that they wanted to win one of Maryland and Michigan State so bad is that the idea of winning 3 in a row down the stretch, knowing there'd probably be some injuries, was difficult. But it's gone way past that point. But they don't get to make excuses because Wisconsin is arguably right now having just as much trouble keeping guys healthy. But I think the scary thing is not only is Wisconsin have a lot to play for, they're playing for style points because the knock on Wisconsin is their strength of schedule this season. They're in the West, and their toughest crossover game will be Michigan in a couple of weeks. They didn't play anybody in the non-conference. It was Utah State, BYU, and Florida Atlantic. Right now they're 9th in the playoff. I think there's 6 teams ranked above them in the playoff that have at least one loss. So they've got to go out, and they've probably got to put some style points on it if they want to move up in the rankings. And while it was a few years ago, that has not been an issue. They've won 9 in a row against Indiana, all of them pretty dominant, 51-3 most recently in 2013. If you go back to that 2010 game, 83-20. So I think Wisconsin is coming in, and they weren't particularly thrilled after they only beat Illinois by 2 touchdowns. I think they're going to come in on the road as well and really try and embarrass IU at all costs. So Indiana cannot afford to get behind the 8-ball in this ball game because if it gets a little bit ugly, Wisconsin's going to do everything they can to make it into a massacre because, like you said, they got a lot to play for and they have a lot to prove to the committee right now. They probably got to win every game by 3 or 4 touchdowns and then go out and win the Big Ten championship game against Ohio State or maybe Penn State if they want to be considered for the playoff right now.
Yeah, that's a great point, David, and I'll counter it. I think that they would want to score style points, but if they put this game to bed early, I think they're fine with like a 35-10 win and resting some need them down the stretch, especially in the, you know, let's face it, they're going to make the Big Ten championship. They're going to need those guys against, you know, either Ohio State or Penn State or Michigan State, you know, whoever's going to win the East there. So I could see if this game gets out of hand early, them just beating, you know, their running backs, either Jonathan Taylor has had a tremendous freshman season or Bradrick Shaw, who's the backup, who hasn't played that much, just to get guys healthy for that stretch run. Because you're right, they do need all the style points that they could get, but if guys get banged up and you beat Indiana 62-10 or 62-3, but losing the Big Ten championship game, it's meaningless. It'll be interesting to see. Wisconsin's they're a typical Wisconsin team. They run the ball well. They have a quarterback who's not great, but he can manage the game, and they've been squeaking by some teams that, you know, this is why IU fans at the beginning of the year were, you know, kind of licking their chops at this game because it's a home game. They never look great. They look really good and they could pound in. They never look great. They don't look like Ohio State or Penn State, but they're always there and consistent. They beat Northwestern by 9. They blew out Nebraska. They beat Purdue by 16. They beat Maryland 38-13. Then last week by 14 at Illinois. So there are a lot of holes in this Wisconsin team that IU could take advantage of if things fall right. It's a noon game. Wisconsin's had a handful of noon games this year, so that shouldn't bother them. But it's kind of probably going to be a smaller crowd. At least that's what it looks like from ticket sales online. So can this atmosphere lull them to sleep and have Indiana speak up on them?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think Wisconsin is in danger of that, especially because, you know, reading some stuff throughout the week, they were pretty disappointed to only beat Illinois by 2 touchdowns. I know one of the touchdowns was late and didn't matter, but was late and didn't matter. But, I mean, frankly, while it was never in doubt, that was a semi-competitive game. And Illinois, now that Rutgers has a couple Big Ten wins, is in all likelihood the worst Big Ten team in the Big Ten. They're the only team other than Indiana without a Big Ten win. And, of course, Indiana's schedule has been just a little bit harder. So I think, you know, that's a possibility. But, like I said, I think they have so much to play for. And, you know, they're at the point where it's one of the harsh realities of college football. They're in a situation where winning, simply having more points than the other team at the end of 4 quarters is not enough.
Yeah, sitting at 9, that's a tough place to be, especially behind Ohio State, Penn State, all these teams with 1 loss. They have a lot of work to do, and they should do that. David, let's go up. What's a matchup you want to watch this week?
You know, it's tough to say with all the injuries, but no matter who is in there running back for Wisconsin, I got to say it might be cheesy, but the run game against Indiana's defensive line, more importantly, Wisconsin's offensive line versus Indiana's defensive line, they got really torn up by 2 really good running backs against Maryland last week. And even if it's not Jonathan Taylor back there, who has been tremendous, by the way, a freshman who's 1 Big Ten freshman of the week 4 times, he's Big Ten in rushing touchdowns. They had a couple guys last week with Taylor out for the half that were really good, namely Garrett Groshek and Bradrick Shaw were both really good. So I think if Indiana can slow them down, that Alex Hornibrook is good, not great. He completes a little over 64%. He doesn't really have that many great receivers, especially if Quintez Cephas ends up being out this Saturday when he's still listed as questionable. So much like Indiana for a lot of times on offenses this season, if they can find a way to slow down that run game for Wisconsin, it really makes them, I think, one-dimensional, particularly if Cephas is out. But that Indiana defensive line has been up and down. To give you an idea, along the line, Nate Hoff leads the team in sacks. He has 1. So, or that's a front 4 in sacks. So they've got to do a better job of wrapping up. They've got to do a better job of a couple of things. But I think especially if Taylor's not there, if they can find a way to just contain the running game, I think Wisconsin becomes almost non-dimensional. I don't think this passing offense is great. And, you know, especially if they don't have the run game to keep defenses honest.
Yeah, and they also have Troy Fumagalli at tight end there. He's a threat in the passing game. But, yeah, if Quentin Cephas can't go, they really don't have that much. And
you know,
outside of the run game.
Their next is A.J. Taylor. The next receiver is A.J. Taylor, who has only just 11 catches on the year. And then Fumagalli does have 27. But just from a receiver standpoint, no, they don't have a lot after Cephas.
Yeah, Danny Davis is another guy who's banged up. He's the third leading receiver, freshman, 7 catches on the year. You know, if you could take away the run game, yeah, you're right. It makes them one-dimensional, and that's one of the keys to win is make Alex Hornibrook beat you, just like you wanted to make John O'Korn beat you, just like you wanted to make Max Bortenschlager beat you and Brian Lewerke beat you. You know, the Big Ten isn't a big quarterback-driven league this year, but the running backs are pretty good, pretty darn good. And it's the same blueprint going in every week for the last 4 weeks now. Take away the run game and make them pass, and hopefully you can force a few turnovers and get the ball back and score a few points. So what's your first key to victory?
Well, I think my first key to victory is that whoever the quarterback is needs to get a little bit of support. And I don't know if he's going to get it, but, you know, we say it every week, Indiana really needs to establish something of a run game just to keep defenses honest a little bit. You know, if Ramsey's in there, I don't know that his mobility will be great. And if it is, I think it'll could be neutralized again. You know, a lot of people were saying, well, you know, Mike Majette and Morgan Ellison weren't in last week. You know, I've got news for you. They haven't been that effective. I mean, Ellison has been a little bit better, and I think has a bright future, but hasn't had
a big
game.
Been a lot better than Mike Majette.
Really? Right, and Mike Majette has really struggled.
He's averaged one.
I thought Cole Guest was okay. Like I said, I don't know how they're going to do it, and we're a broken record with this, but they need something that resembles a run game, because against this really stingy Wisconsin defense, and especially the way Wisconsin picks off passes, they lead the Big Ten interceptions, and they are tied for first in the nation for taking 4 interceptions back for touchdowns. So I can promise you, if you're going to make Richard Lego or Peyton Ramsey throw it more than like 35, 40 times, there's going to be turnovers. And so they've got to be able to keep it on the ground a little bit, and they can't consistently get in third and longs like they have been over the last, you know, really since they've entered Big Ten play, but most of the season.
Yeah, and you're right. Cole Guest had a nice game last week before getting knocked out. We don't know his status for this week. IU was down to one scholarship running back last week, and it was Tyler Nati, who did not see the field. You had Ricky Brookins, Alex Rodriguez, Devontae Williams was in there as well for a little bit, but not much. Cole Guest got knocked out. You know, it's a total mash unit, the game, and I don't know if Morgan Ellison's going to be back this week. It doesn't sound like it. So we'll see. We'll see if they could get Tyler Nati some carries and just, you know, win those first downs. You could get 5 or 6 yards on first down through passing, and then maybe run it on second or third down and get it into third and manageable and pick up those third and shorts to get those first downs. And you don't need to rush for 250 yards. If you could rush effectively and get 100 yards or 120 yards here and there, you could really do some damage and keep them in check. It's all about keeping the defense honest, and that'll free up your receivers. You don't want to, you know, have them drop 8 guys and have no run game where their front 4 can make plays. And you don't want to have a lack of a passing game where they could put 9 in the box and just stuff everybody. So, you know, balance is key. Balance is my key for IU as well. You know, run the ball decently well and you know, let your receivers make plays. You got 3 really good ones. And then Tasty or Mac has been playing well as well. Now, let your receivers go up and make plays. Simi Cobbs is now on the Biletnikoff watch list. You know, take the game plan you had at Ohio State, chuck it up there. They've had trouble, you know, on passes. Yeah, they lead the league in, but that's because people can't run on them and they're throwing a lot.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what you said about the receivers, you know, helps out them out a little bit in the sense that at least it's not no running game plus their only big receiver, and their only big name receiver, yes, is Simi Cobbs, but Luke Timian's had a very good season. Cobbs has had a very good season, and over the last few weeks, we've seen guys like Tasia Mack step up, and last week it was Walt Fillier, who I know he has a big drop late, but has 13 catches and a score on the day. I think the statistic that IU football released was it was the first game in program history to have three guys with double-digit receptions in Cobbs, Timian, and Fillier. So I know it was against a bad Maryland defense, but I think it helps a little bit that even if they struggle to run the ball, at least they just can't key in on one receiver.
Yeah, and Timmy Cobbs has caught 54 balls, Luke Timian at 49. Now, Wap Fillier, who really hasn't played all that much, only has played in seven of the eight games, did not really play early that much early on, has 21 catches. He's your third leading receiver. And then Ian Thomas there, you hope he comes back healthy because, man, that's a weapon that just makes this offense that much better. Only has 18 catches. So these receivers got to step up, and I think giving Richard Lego the reins of the offense back is the only way you're – going to win three of the next four games.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation for a lot of reasons, for what the quarterback controversy early in the season and how the injuries here on the back end. You know, it's got to be confusing for the rest of that team, particularly that offense. But I guess you just got to get Joel Embiid this one and just sort of trust the process and hope that this somehow gets them to six games. I'm still very skeptical that they'll be able to do that, but you know, we've echoed the sentiment throughout the week that, you know, while this game doesn't look particularly winnable and then they've got to win three in a row, you can only take it one game and really, you know, one quarter, one play at a time and see what goes from there.
Yeah, it is a one quarter at a time. One, you know, as a Yankee fan, I watched them play on elimination games for most of the postseason. It's you take it one inning, or just win an inning. Then you can worry about winning the next inning. You know, win the first quarter. Then go win the second quarter. Win the third quarter. You start winning enough quarters, you're going to win games. You know, win the fourth quarter. So you start adding those things up. They turn into wins. You can't look too far down the road and say, you know, we've got to beat Purdue. We got to beat Rutgers at home. You know, first you got to try and beat Wisconsin. Then you got to try and beat Illinois. Then when you take care of those two things, you got to try and beat Rutgers. And then when you take care of that, you got to beat Purdue. So it could be overwhelming trying to think like that. And you know, let's just go out and win the first quarter against Wisconsin, and then worry about the second quarter, and then you can worry about everything else. So that to me is just take it one quarter at a time. You know, you have a third of the season left. Best of it.
Without a doubt. I think you got the right mindset. One game, one quarter, one play at a time. And hopefully it figures itself out, and, you know, maybe over the last few weeks they can get a little bit healthier. God knows that would help.
Yeah, if they could get healthy down the stretch, that would definitely help. I don't know if that's going to happen, but let's get to prediction time, David. Then we'll get everybody out of here. Enjoy the rest of action and some NFL games tonight.
Man, I really want to think of a scenario where IU can win this, really just compete in this game. And normally that's not an issue. You know, and those of us who follow the team know how close they always get and how competitive they are, even, you know, with the big boys of the Big Ten. Having said that, you know, given all the injuries, and I know Wisconsin's very banged up, and what's at stake for Wisconsin, Indiana is on the outside looking in, you know, to go six games and go to, you know, the Quick Lane Bowl or something like that, whereas Wisconsin is on the outside looking in of the college football playoff. I think Wisconsin will be all over Indiana early, and I think if they smell what blood in the water, they're going to strike pretty quick. If you need me to put a score on it, I do think, and I hope I'm wrong, because I'm on the call this weekend as well. If you need me to put a score on it, I'll go 41-10.
Okay. I'm thinking along the same lines as you. It really depends on the health of both teams. If all of Wisconsin guys who are banged up don't play, Indiana has a real shot. If not, if some of these guys, if Jonathan Taylor plays, if Quentin Cephas plays, if Dakota Dixon plays on defense, it's going to be tough sledding for IU, especially dealing with the injuries that they have without Morgan Ellison, potentially without Peyton Ramsey back there, without maybe Cole Guest, you know, just how thin that is. I'm going to go Wisconsin 35, Indiana 17. I do think Indiana can score some points with Richard Lego just throwing it up to Simi Cobbs. But I think just this is your typical Wisconsin team that's going to grind you down to a pace, and they're going to put this one away maybe mid-third quarter, early fourth quarter. They'll just grind it down, and they'll be happy to get at it, IU with a win and get everybody back for their big stretch run as well.
Without a doubt, I think, like you said, if it turns out some of these questionables turn into doubtfuls and not playing, particularly for Wisconsin, Jonathan Taylor, as well as Cephas, then I think the script could go a little bit differently. But I think Indiana will have a difficult time on Saturday, and there are a lot of what ifs in this game. Though a lot of most of them injury related with Taylor and Cephas, and is it going to be Richard Lego or Peyton Ramsey? And whoever it is, if they struggle, you know, who's ready to play? If it's Richard Lego and he struggles, you know, could they really go to Nick Tronti? You know, I don't know if we'll get to that point, but there are a lot of what ifs in this game that could flip the script.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what college football is all about. It's every week. This is why that transitive property is so difficult to handle in college football. Every week is different. You know, there's different injuries. These are 18 to 21 year old kids, and they just react different every single day. They could wake up at this on the wrong side of the bed. Something, you know, could be distracting them. It's you're dealing with kids, and anytime you're dealing with kids, you know, it's kind of unpredictable. But you know, we'll see. I hope we're wrong. I really do. I don't think a loss kills the season. Sure, it makes the Illinois game a real must win game to get to bowl eligibility. But this is going in. It's another, you know, if you go by the AP poll, it's another top five team that Indiana has to play. They played three of them this year. The schedule is just absolutely brutal in the Big Ten. And before you get to that back end of it. So, you know, we'll see. Anyway, David, enjoy. Good luck on the call this weekend. If you're not listening to Don Fisher, tune into WIUX for a little bit for David Sugarman's call. David, give us a little bit of information how we can find your call if we're not listening in Bloomington.
Yeah, please. If obviously, I don't know why you'd listen to me and not Don, but if you're not in the Bloomington area, you can catch the call online, wiux.org/stream. And if you're in the Bloomington area and want to listen, it is 99.1 FM. So it's 99.1 FM or online at wiux.org/stream. So would love to have you guys tune into the call, and it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. It is always, you know, it's always fun to be at these games. I'm sure it's awesome to call these games on the radio. Anyway, good luck, David. Thanks for joining us. That will do it for tonight's Hoosier Huddle podcast. Game kicks off at noon on ABC on Saturday from Memorial Stadium. We'll be live there with a pregame show on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe to our YouTube. It's Hoosier Huddle on YouTube. Just search it, click subscribe, and we'll have it up prior to the game. We'll have a post-game show as well. Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us. Check us out on Twitter as well at Hoosier_Huddle, and keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your Indiana football news and notes.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.